of these contemporary songs can bring you comfort like those songs of old. No sad goodbyes. All right, if you have your Bible, get Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I really struggle on what to preach. a situation that's we're going through right now. So what I'm going to preach on this morning is something I think that's going to be very pertinent and helpful to you just with what's going on today in today's time. I just want to preach this morning on what is happening in Israel. What is going on over in Israel. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to ask Brother Steve Schlecht if you'd lead us in prayer, brother. Amen. as you sit here and talk to Christians today about Israel and about what's going on over there in Israel, it is a shame that people don't know more about Israel and Bible believers that don't know a lot about Israel and what it plays a part in and how people try to have the church steal the promises of Israel, which is not going to happen. That's not true. And what's going to happen is God made a deal with Abraham a long time ago. That Abraham was, matter of fact, Abraham was asleep when it happened. God just gave it to him. It's a land covenant. And here in Romans chapter 11, look at verse 26. The Bible says this, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." And so, in a nutshell, what's going to happen in the future, this is what's going to happen. And then we're going to get into what's going on over there and why is it going on and what's God doing and where's it at in the Bible. And so you'll be able to have the answers to be able to give to people on what's going on over there. All right? And so it'd be a really good morning if you got an ink pen with you. Now listen, this ain't going to be no coming on with it preaching this morning and challenging you or exhorting you or rebuking or exhorting this morning. It's just going to be a lot of knowledge. It's going to be a lot of teaching this morning. But it's going to give you some goods this morning, and it should give you some comfort about the future, about where we're going and what we're doing and why there are not going to be any sad goodbyes over there. All right, and you can take what this Bible says, you can take it to the bank, and stuff that's going to pass that's happening right now over in Israel has been prophesied 600-700 years before Jesus Christ even showed up. And here God says this, that in verse 26, He says, "There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." And that's the way this thing's going to end. And so what you're going to have is that we have the church here, and there's going to be a rapture here. And not long from now, there's going to be a rapture. And those that are in Christ, those that are born again believers in Jesus Christ, if you're here this morning and you're lost, then you're not in that number. All right, what you have for you, what's coming for you, is it's going to be a tribulation period, a seven-year tribulation period that's going to be happening on this earth, and all the believers are going to be gone. We're going to be raptured out. Jesus Christ is going to come back in the clouds, and we're going to be caught up to meet Him in the air, and we're going to be forever with the Lord and with our loved ones and that are saved. That's going to be, that's went on before us. Now, After that seven-year tribulation, at the end of that seven-year tribulation, Jesus Christ is going to come back, and it's called the Second Advent. And then there's going to be war. And God's going to go fight, and He's going to fight against all the nations of the earth. And when we say all the nations of the earth, that includes America, the United States of America. And you can already see how America is beginning to turn her back on Israel. And you can see it. It's been preached in colleges by professors for years, and it's been turned to hearts of young people, and now to the point to where right now people are, the young people in that generation, you can see their heart, you can see the liberals, you can see all of them that's going on, and their heart is turning toward the Jew. You can see all the stuff that's going on to the Jews right now, all the persecution that's going up. They said 200-400% more now than what was happening after Palestine bombed Israel. And I'm going to use the term Palestine today because that's what you understand, although that's not even what they're called. But I'm going to say it just for the purpose of you being able to understand what we're talking about this morning. Now, the problem is that most Americans today, most Christian Americans today have no idea what's going on in Israel. They have no idea what's happening. And where you get your information at is CNN, it is MSNBC, it's Fox News, Sean Hannity, Candace Owens, Ben Shapiro. You got all these people that's giving all their opinions out, and I'm just telling you, they're all wrong. They have no idea. They have no idea what's going on over there in Israel. They have no idea about the Bible. They couldn't show you one thing about the Bible, what God's doing. They sit here and they talk out their flat hats, and they sit here and they talk about things like a two-state solution. We've got our Secretary of State, John Kerry, talking about if this don't get fixed and it's going to mess up our way toward a two-state solution over there. As God sits here and talks about and listens to people talk about a two-state solution, you know what He does? He laughs. God sits there and He laughs. According to Psalm chapter 2, He laughs and sits here and says, there is no two-state solution over there. This has already been done. It's already been given. Everything's already in place. What they're talking about, what they're talking about on the news, what they're talking about on NBC and all those talk shows and all the YouTube, all the social media, all the stuff that everybody's saying and they're arguing about, neither one of them's right. And it's not going to happen, and that's not what God's trying to put in place this morning. You say, what's God trying to put in place? He's going to put the Jews over there. It's the Jews' land. It's Abraham's land. God gave it to Abraham, and that's what we're going to look at. First of all, what I want you to see is this right here. Go to 2 Chronicles. Get 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we're going to be doing some flipping through your Bible this morning. And I want you to see, first of all, you got a bunch of people talking about what to do with some land, and it's not their land. It's not their land to even be talking about. It's not America's land. It's not Joe Biden's land. Not John Kerry's land. It's not Donald Trump's land. He's wrong just like everybody else is wrong. They're all wrong. They don't have any idea what's going on over there. And here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you're going to see, first of all, whose land it is. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, here's what you have. Look at verse 12. Solomon is in the temple here, and he's dedicating the temple, and he's going through all this stuff, and the Lord's answering him. Verse 12 says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. And he goes down through those verses down there and says, you know, if you do this, this is going to happen. And if you do that, this is going to happen. And get down there to verse 19, see what he says. He says this, but if you turn away, and he's talking to Solomon, he's talking about the children of Israel, he says this, but if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of, what's it say? My land. Whose land is that? That's God's land over there. God's land, and now you got a bunch of people that think highly of themselves, and they're sitting here trying to decide within themselves, who's going to get this land over here? And we've got to get a two-state solution. And we've got to get peace in the Middle East. And we've got to take care of all... No, it's not yours to give. You ain't going to fix this. It's not going to be fixed until the Prince of Peace comes back. That's when you'll have peace. And you need to know what God says. God says, first of all, this is my land. All this land over here that everybody's looking at, the whole earth, it's all God's. Every bit of it's God's. It's His. He created it. It's all His land. Look at Exodus. Go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and the children of Israel there are coming out of Egypt there, and they're getting ready to travel there. and they're coming out as bondmen and slaves, and God's delivering them. And you get down to Exodus chapter 12, and you get down in, look at verse 25. Verse 25, this is what God calls it. It says, "And it shall come to pass when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you according as He hath promised." So the land up there in that verse right there, He says, the land. He said, it's promised. It's promised land. God says, it's my land, and He says, it's promised. It's promised land. Go to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32. I told you you're going to have a lot of turning this morning. Can't find the books of the Bible. Get somebody from junior church to help you. They know them. Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32, look at verse 13. The Bible says this, "Upon the land of my people." You know what God says? His people are the people of Israel. And you know whose land He calls it? He says it's my people's land, the land of my people. Go on over to your right there to Amos. Go to the book of Amos. Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Amos chapter 9. So there's no doubt whose land this is. There is no two-state solution over there. Palestine's never had a state over there. They've never been in charge over there. And you got Amos chapter 9, look down in verse 15. Look what he says. This is future here. He says this. He says, "And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God." It's God's land. It's called the promised land. It's called the land of my people. And it's called their land. And every bit of it's talking about Israel. Not one time is it ever talking about the Arabs over there, Ishmael's descendants. Not one time is there ever going to be a two-state solution. God never said there's going to be a two-state solution. What God said is, He said it's the Jews' land, and one day they're going to get it. All right? Go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. That land over there, just to show you here in Genesis chapter 2, what part of the land that we're dealing with over there. You got the Garden of Eden here in Genesis chapter 2, starting verse 8. It says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, and that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." So right there, you're looking at we're going to be referencing the Euphrates River, all right? So you see right there, God tells you where it's at, and it's where the Garden of Eden was at. And it was east in Eden. And if you go right now and look over there at the Tigris River and the Euphrates River, and you look at a map, what you're going to find is you're going to find the Persian Gulf, and you're going to find Kuwait right there. And that's modern-day Kuwait. And that river goes from Kuwait right there. And if we turn this around, you're looking at me. So if it's over here, here's Persia, or the Persian Gulf, and you've got Kuwait right here. That river goes north, and it goes up like this right here, and then it curves right back over there to the top, up through around close to Syria. And then you're going to have Israel over here on this side of the border in the Mediterranean Sea that's right over here, all right? So that's what he's talking about. That's where the Euphrates River is at, all right? Now, look at Genesis chapter 15. Go to Genesis chapter 15. What's funny is that they're sitting here trying to figure out what to do with the land over there in Israel. And they have no idea how much land is even involved. And Genesis chapter 15 right here, what they're sitting there and they're talking about all this land over here and what's going on and have no idea. They're trying to give Israel, basically if you think about a map of the United States, it would be like trying to give Israel California when God said they get all of America. That's what it is. They're sitting here arguing about how much land over here that Israel should have over here beside the Mediterranean Sea. And God said, no. All the way to the Persian Gulf. They get all the way to the Persian Gulf. Look here in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, it says this in verse 17. It says, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So if you think about that map right there and the way I'm looking, so you've got Egypt that's right here, you've got Israel right here beside the Mediterranean Sea, and so he's got right here by Egypt and the river, the Nile River here, and then you got this river here that's by Kuwait and the Persian Gulf, that river that goes up here. What God's saying is he's got this from here all the way up here to this river that goes all the way over here like this right here and comes back across. You've got a big triangle over there, just like that right there, and every bit of it, God gave it to Abraham. Every bit of it. You say, what's going on in Israel right now? You got a bunch of people, the United Nations, you got Joe Biden, and if Joe Biden wasn't in there, it'd be whatever Republicans in there, and they're trying to steal land that God had, and they're trying to give it to people that it don't belong to. That's why there's fighting going over there right now. Right now, that's why there's fighting. Now, go to 2 Samuel chapter 8. 2 Samuel chapter 8. When David became king, David began to conquer cities. And when he began to conquer those cities, do you know what he was doing? He was getting the land that God had promised Abraham. That's what he's doing. And here in 2 Samuel, if you'll get to 2 Samuel chapter 8, 2 Samuel chapter 8, and look in verse 1, it says, and after this it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them, and David took Methegama out of the hand of the Philistines, and he smote Moab and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground, even with two lines measured he to put to death, and one full line to keep alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. So David's going down below Israel down there, and he's conquering everything down there below Israel. Now look what it says in verse 3. And David smote also Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to recover, look what it says, as he went to recover his border. Where? At the river of Euphrates. He's going all the way to the, it ain't just over here where you got, you know, they say from the river to the sea, we're going to annihilate them from the river to the sea. No, it's not the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, Hoss. God gave it all to him. And when David got there and he began to conquer that afterwards, he's going all the way to the Euphrates River. He's taking it all back. Go to 1 Kings. Go to 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4. What's going on in Israel? You got a bunch of people trying to steal land from God. That's what's going on. And God's already gave it to the Jew. And God had to put the Jew through a bunch of trials and tribulations. Why? Because of what they were doing wrong. While he was in that prayer that when Solomon prayed, he said, if you do this, then this is going to happen. And God's put all that judgment on them and got them dispersed over 2,500 years. And in 1948, God started bringing them back together. Why? Because he's giving them the land back. He's going to give them the land back. It started in 1948. 1967, they had a war. You can see it all going, and it's getting closer and closer today as you can see God setting everything up, what? To get that land back to them, to get that land back to them. Here in 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 4. Look down in, he's going down through here, and this is Solomon. Look in verse 1. So King Solomon was king over all Israel, and these were the princes which he had. Azariah, the son of Zadok the priest, and he goes down through here and he begins to name all these people. And you get down to verse 17, Jehoshaphat, the son of Peruah in Issachar, Shimei, the son of Elah in Benjamin, Geber, the son of Uri, was in the country of Gilead, in the country of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and of Og, king of Bashan, and he was the only officer which was in the land. And he starts going down through there and he's talking about all these places and all these different cities. Look at verse 20. It says, Judah and Israel were many, as the sand which is by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and making merry. Look what it says. And Solomon reigned over all kingdoms, from the river unto the land of the Philistines, unto the border of Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. You say what? When Solomon was king, when he took over, he had from Egypt all the way to the Euphrates River, all the way to the top, all the way over to the Persian Gulf. And that big triangle right there, every bit of that is Abraham's. It's all his. And you know what the United Nations are doing up there? They're set up there in New York right now, and they think that they are the ones that gets to decide who gets what, where this goes, and here this goes, and what's going on here. And the problem is, the United Nations don't even realize that God prophesied 630 years before Jesus Christ that there would be a United Nations. You say, why? Because He's gathering the nations together for what? So He can bind them and burn them and kill them. That's why. And America is going to turn their back on Israel just like everybody else is according to this Bible. All right? Now, so what's going on in the land over there right now? Look at Isaiah chapter 60. Go to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And just trying to set a little groundwork here and then just show you how this thing's going to turn out and let you see it in Scripture. Isaiah chapter 60. Look at verse 18. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 18. Israel's going to get that land over there. Look what he says in verse 18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more in the light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. And you see that up there? Look what he says there in verse 18. He says, violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. He's talking about his land there. He's on one day Israel's going to get all that thing back, and there ain't going to be any destruction. There's not going to be any wars over there. Jesus Christ will be the ruler, and it'll all be Abraham's, all right? That's what he's saying. Look at Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62. Look what he says. Isaiah chapter 62. Now, if you remember, here's what he says, verse 26 in Romans 11, 26. He says, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Here in Isaiah chapter 62, the Bible says in verse 1, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Israel. He's talking about his people. Look at verse 4. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. See, God's hand's been against them for 2,500 years, and he says, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land, any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For thy land, for the land delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. It's thy land, the land. It's Israel's land. And you see right there, he says it's no more going to be desolate. Go to Isaiah chapter 35. If you go over there right now, it's desolate. It don't look like nothing but a big desert. That's it. It looks like a big desert. But it ain't going to be like that once God gives puts them back in the land. Look at Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. In the future here, this is going to happen. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1, the Bible says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. None of that stuff's happened. It's not ever happened. That's all future. And you know what's going to happen? God's going to give that land to Israel. Jesus Christ is going to reign there for 1,000 years, and it's going to blossom like the rose of Sharon. Amen. That's the future. That's what's going to happen over there in Israel. That's what's going to happen. And so right now, what's going on over there is prophecies being fulfilled right in front of us. It's being fulfilled right in front of us. Every bit of this Bible, and it's going through here, and I'm getting ready to show you all the things that's going on. But here's what I want you to do this morning. If you're sitting here this morning and you're lost, not only is this stuff true, but the fact that if you die in your sins without Jesus Christ, you will burn in a devil's hell. The hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And if you're here this morning and you're lost, look at all this stuff that's going to happen. Look at how this stuff works. Look at how this Bible is completely right. And if it's right about this, it's right about hell. And you better make sure before you leave today that you're saved and you're born again. So when the rapture happens and the second coming happens and he starts going through and wreaking havoc on everything, you're with him as the armies of heaven instead of being the one that's going to be trampled and the blood being up to the horse's bridle. So right now what's going on is it's the prophecy, and it's going to be the end of all nations. And you know what this is called? Go to Revelation 16, 16. I'll show you what this is called. And you've heard it. They've made movies about it. They refer to it all the time. Go to Revelation 16. You know what it's called. And people just talk about it like it's any other type of entertainment, that it's a myth or it's not real or anything. The problem is, here's the problem. People look at this book, this Bible, the Word of God, and they think it's a religious book. It's not. It's a history book. And you can go through history and you can see everything that's happened, and you know for a fact that everything in the future that it says is going to happen is going to happen. And look what he says here in Revelation chapter 16. This is future. This is in Revelation. He says this, "And he gathered them together." Talking about who? He gathered the nations. The people that's against God. He gathered the nations. The one that's been persecuting the Jew. God used them to persecute the Jew because God was wroth with the Jew. And then he said, you know what's going to happen after that? Now I'm going to destroy you. Revelation 16, he says, "And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon." The Battle of Armageddon, it's in the future. And you know what it's going to be when they put all those nations together, God gets them all together, and then God's going to go through and he's going to destroy them. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Look what it says here. You say, all the nations are going to fight against God? Yeah, they're going to fight against God. They're taking his land. God's going to go over there and take his land back, and he's going to set it up, and they're all going to gather themselves together against God. Look at this, verse 19. It says, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies." So he saw the beast. So out of the tribulation, you're going to have the Antichrist here. So you've got the beast, and you've got the kings of the earth, all the kings of the earth, all the nations and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. So who's sitting on the horse and who's the army? Go back up and look at verse 11. Revelation 19, 11. It says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that was set upon it, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood." Now look what it says. "And his name is called the Word of God." Who's called the Word? Jesus Christ. He's the Word manifest in the flesh according to John chapter 1. That's who's on that horse. It says, verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Who's that? That's born-again believers. That's us. We're going to be right there. We're going to be right behind the Lord Jesus Christ. So now he says there in verse 19, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse," against Jesus Christ. So why is all these nations, why is everybody turning against God right now and turning against Israel? Because God's gathering them all together. He's turning all their hearts against Israel. He's bringing them all against the Jews. And he's saying everybody's going to be mad, and they're going to be going against Israel. And Israel's going to be all by themselves. And it's going to look bad. And then out of Zion, guess what's going to happen? Their deliverer is going to show up. That's why it says, "Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh." That's the second coming. That's not the rapture. And he's telling them Jews in the tribulation, "Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh." So what's going on over there right now is this. God's setting it up. He's setting it up, and he's setting it up right in front of our faces, and we don't, and a lot of Christians don't even see it. Why? Because they're getting their news from CNN and Fox News and Sean Hannity and all these people that have no idea. Sean Hannity's a Catholic, has no idea what's going on. Has no idea what's going on. Look at Psalm 2. Look at Psalm 2. You start realizing what kind of God it is in this Bible. He says over there in Proverbs 1, he says, "I will mock when your fear cometh." He says, you've rejected my son. You've rejected my people. It's going to be a time where you're standing before me and you've said, I'm not going to be yours. I've went against you. And he said, and when you realize you're wrong and fear shows up, I'm going to mock at you and I'm going to laugh at you. The Lord will laugh at him. He's not going to be that lowly baby in a manger the next time he comes back. He's a man of war. Yes, God is love. But he's also what? God is a consuming fire. God's got all the attributes. He's all-powerful. He's omnipotent. Look at Psalm 2. It's talking about the United Nations right here. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Who is that? The kings of the earth. They're all getting together right now and they're going over there and they're saying, we're going to go against the Lord. We're going to fix this thing. We're going to take over. It's going to be us. We're going to get everybody together and we're going to be in charge. And he says this, verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. What's that? That's Jerusalem. Is Jesus Christ reigning in Jerusalem right now? No, but He will be. He will be. He's going to get it. He's going to be over there. It says, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. God's collecting all those people right now, all these nations, all the kings of the earth, and they're all headed over there to Israel right now to be against Israel, and they have no idea that God's playing them like a piano concerto. He is drawing them and pulling them over there, and they hate Israel, and they don't even know why they hate Israel. They don't know why they're siding with the Arabs. They have no idea what's going on. And God's been doing it for over 2,500 years. God's been setting this thing up, setting it up. All right, look at, so how's it all going to play out? Look at Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. Over 500 prophecies in this Bible about what's getting ready to happen over there. Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3, it says this right here. Look at verse 1. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Look what he says in verse 2. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted, what's he say? My land. My land. There says they're casting lots for my people. They're over there. They act like they're in control. They think they know what's going on. John Kerry over there, Secretary of State, going over there to try to figure out how they're going to divide this land up. Has no idea what he's saying. You know what they're doing? They're assembling themselves together. Look at verse 11. Assemble yourselves together. Come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down. O Lord, let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Look at Zephaniah. Go to your right a little bit. Look at Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3. You think God's going to gather the nations? He says it over and over. Zephaniah chapter 3, look at verse 8. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to what? Gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve Him with one consent. He's talking about Israel right there. He's talking about Israel. So I'm going to gather these nations. I'm going to gather these nations. Look at, go to Micah. Go to Micah chapter 4. Jonah and Micah. Micah chapter 4. Prophecy of what's in the future. Look what he says in verse 11. Micah chapter 4, verse 11. Now also, many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. Look verse 12. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord. You do. What's going to happen when they get over there? They ain't going to be trying to divide the land and figure out what's going on. But they're sitting there thinking, it says, now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. Look what he says. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Look down in chapter 5, look at verse 15. And I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. You think God's going to gather the nations? You think it's going to be pleasant? You think it's going to be a God of love? You don't read the Bible. I was talking about in Sunday school this morning about getting that mind renewed. You better get in this book and get some knowledge about what's going to happen. Go to Zechariah, a couple more books over. Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. And God's going to gather all nations against Israel. Zechariah chapter 14. Look at verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Look at verse 2. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. You know what's going to happen? He's gathering all those nations over there. We're getting out of here. 7-year tribulation. They're going to go over there and they're going to try to destroy and kill Israel. And then God's going to come through there and he's going to wipe them out. He said, I'm bringing it over and you don't even know what we're doing. You all don't even have a clue. You bring it a knife to a gunfight. Just come on over here, fellas. I'm gathering them all up. He's getting them all over there. What's going on over in Israel right now? Fulfilling prophecy. That's what's going on in Israel over there right now. That's what's happening. Look at, go back to, he's going to destroy those, he's going to destroy them. Look at, I ain't got time to go all the references, but all those references I gave you in Joel chapter 3, it's got God gathering Israel, and then it's got God destroying those nations, and then it's got God giving them peace. In all three of those different places right there, that's what's going to happen. Look at Isaiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 63. Folks, this ain't fake. This is real. We're right. You say, you just think you're right and everybody else is wrong. I think this Bible's right. I think this Bible's right. And when God says He's going to gather all nations against Israel, then it's going to happen. And the church ain't replaced Israel and we're not taking all their promises. God said this. He told Abraham. He made a covenant with Abraham. This is your land. From the river of Egypt, the Nile River here, all the way to the Euphrates River, all the way out to the end of it over there in the east of Eden over there. And God said, that's Abraham's land. And you've got the United Nations. You know what God said in Numbers chapter 23? He said that Israel will not be numbered. He will not be reckoned among the nations. So you know what? The UN's going to kick them out. They're going to get rid of them because they're not going to be reckoned among the nations. Everybody's going to go against Israel. That's what's going to happen. And then when that happens, you've got a 7-year tribulation. At the end of that tribulation, Jesus Christ is coming back on a white horse, regardless of it, air lips every preacher in Scott County. He's coming back on a white horse, and we're coming back on white horses with Him, according to the Bible, according to Revelation chapter 19. Isaiah 63, look what it says. When they see this coming, Isaiah is seeing this happen. Look what he says. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? Because I've been treading the winepress alone. I've been stomping them, and the blood's come up to my bridles, and it's got on my vesture, and it looks like a bunch of grape juice, but it's blood. And I have just ripped I've ripped everybody to shreds over there. Here's what he's saying. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. Why? Verse 4. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. That's what's going to happen over in Israel. That's what's going on in Israel right now. You say, well, what's the big deal? What's going on over there? Let me turn the news on. You better get your nose in this book, or you ain't going to have an idea of what's happening over there. They think they're fixing it all. They think they're having all these meetings, and, oh, we're going to split it up. We're going to give this part to him. It's going to be a two-state solution. Nope, ain't going to happen. One of these days, and not very far off, it'll be the time for Jesus Christ to come back and get what's rightfully His. And He's going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. And He's going to be over there, and He's going to reign forever and ever. And it's all right there. And you see it happening right in front of your face. You say, well, what do we do? Well, this really ain't concerning to us. This is what God's promised to Abraham. This Bible is about a king and his kingdom. And what we do is we take this book and we take this much of it right here and we try to overthrow. Look how much he's written about all the stuff that's going on over there right now. And we try to act like this. This is us, man. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There will be no more sad goodbyes over there. We'll get to see all the people that's went on before us. This is real. One day I'll get to see my mom again. This is real. I'll get to see the one who died for me. So what do you do? Look at Jeremiah chapter 29. What do we do in a time like this right here? When Jeremiah chapter 29, they went into captivity the first time, and it ain't got to do with what about this. None of that other stuff's ever came to pass that we was reading about today, but it's going to. It's going to. And here's what he said when they were going into Babylon. He said this, Jeremiah chapter 29, look at verse 4. He says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. So all the people that's all these Jews you got going on right now, you got us Christians, you're waiting on this thing to happen. What should we be doing right now? Look what he says. Verse 5, build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners, that's MSNBC, all that stuff, that be in the midst of you, deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, and which ye have caused to be dreamed. So the point is this, when they were in captivity here, they said, just live your life. Live your life, do what God's called you to do, and stay busy doing what God called you to do. Look at Acts chapter 1, and we're finished. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Starting verse 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, the former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They were looking for it back then. It's getting ready to happen, folks. We are right there. 2033 is 2,000 years since Jesus Christ died. 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is a day. So here's what it is. If it's a 2,000-year church age, it's getting ready to be over. And that's why all those nations are turning against Israel right now. And nobody else is going to fix it. It's going to be a mess. It's about getting off time. We ain't far away from getting out of here. And they're asking this question right here. 2,000 years ago, they was asking this question. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Nope. But it's coming. What should we do? He says this, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know what he said? The restoration's coming. And until then, guys, get busy leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, and you die without Jesus Christ, you will split hell wide open, according to this Bible. And I don't mean that to be mean. I'm just telling you, you better get it together, because all this stuff is coming true. And the Book of Mormon ain't right. The Jehovah's Witness ain't right. Buddha ain't right. Muhammad ain't right. They're all dead. They're all in a hole in the ground. This Bible right here knows what's going on. It's telling you the future. And right now, what I'm begging you to do right now is, when we give this altar call, come to this altar and say, I need to get saved. Don't even think about it. Don't even wonder about it. This is true. Get it fixed today. All right, let's all stand. Sister Robin. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to a guy, and I asked all prayer for him. He was worried about Israel. He said, man, I asked him if he's born again. He said, no. And I said, you're not. And he goes, no. And he said, man, with all this stuff happening about Israel, he said, I'm worried about it. That was on Wednesday. I talked to him, asked you all to pray about it. Well, the next day I went over there, and I got to lead him to the Lord. But he saw it. He saw it coming. And there's some of you sitting here today, and you see it coming, and you keep putting it off. And it ain't time to put it off. You need to get saved this morning. You need to do it right now. As she plays. Thank you.